A reading from the letter to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the holy ones, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you, from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Biblical commentaries tell us that although written in the Apostle Paul's name, the author of the letter to the Colossians is the second or third generation leader of a Pauline community seeking to interpret Paul's preaching for the new day and situation in which the church finds itself. The Colossian Christians had come under the influence of teachers who said the Colossians had to perform prescribed religious rituals in order to be saved. This competing theology contradicted Paul's teaching and our own Christian belief that the act of redemption by God in Christ is already completed. The Colossians were reminded, as we are, of this redemption you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Clearly, the search for truth is as old as the beginning of time and as new as the evening news. Competing versions of truth have shaped the human experience from the dawn of creation. Whether Christians in Colossae, Jerusalem, Charlottesville, Baghdad, Houston, or anywhere else on earth, the claims of truth are spoken in many and diverse languages. I've begun to wonder if our use of the word truth has become so individual and subjective that it is simply code for personal preferences, personal opinion, personal experience. Ascribing these, my personal preference and my personal experience, as truth, it seems to me to negate our knowing that the search for truth is ultimately our search for the mind and the will of God. What if we put the word truth on the shelf for an indefinite period of time? What if we didn't use it and we simply turned our attention to engaging one another one-to-one or in small intimate groups for the sole purpose of understanding one another? not in conversation, not for debate, not for argument or persuasion, not even disputatio. Rather, plain, honest, authentic dialogue. Dialogue for the sole purpose of understanding one another. Might this help us understand and come to truth in the light of authentic Christian understanding? The Christian understanding of truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one we as Christians believe is the way, the truth, and the life. But what does this mean? If truth acts like Jesus in dialogue with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, if truth acts like Jesus washing Peter's feet, if truth acts like Jesus sharing a Passover meal with Judas Iscariot, if truth acts like Jesus drawing in the sand, standing with a woman accused of adultery, if truth acts like Jesus entering the country of the Gerasenes, healing a man possessed by demons, if truth acts like Jesus in the synagogue on the Sabbath, healing a man with a shriveled hand, if truth acts like this Jesus, what then is truth? In a world of fake news, half-truths, assertions, claims, defended postures, and a longing at the heart of the human community for the truth that will guide and light its way to life. Let us look at Jesus, the truth, and ask the question, if truth looks and acts like this, what then is truth? And how then shall I be truth?